Welcome and thank you for standing by. At this time, I'm going to open up lines so you can ask your question. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'll turn today's meeting to David Hari, and you may begin.
Okay. Hello. I know there's only a couple of people on the line. Could we hear who's here?
I'm here. This is Janet Frost.
Hi, Janet.
Deborah Bergstein.
Hi, Deborah. And we have Bob. I'm David Howery, and this
sure.
is and we have Bob here as well.
Hi, this is Bob. I'm sorry to I've gotten a message from a couple of other reviewers that they were unable to get through on the call. Did either of you have any trouble?
No.
No.
Huh.
Nope.
Okay. Well, basically, we're just here to answer questions. You're both, I assume, reviewers on an upcoming iTest panel. And we put out the pre-recorded webinar. Were you able to access that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, great. So do you have any questions?
I do have one, actually.
Okay.
The email that we got to, you know, prepare us and let us know which proposals to review
sure.
Mentioned that as a primary reviewer, we will be presenting the proposal to the panel briefly.
Right.
And I wasn't quite sure what that meant. I didn't think it meant anything formal, but I just wanted to make sure.
No, it's a good question. Basically, you have sort of three kinds of responsibilities. One is to introduce it. There will be panel members who are not assigned as a primary or secondary on this particular proposal, and they won't probably have read the proposal. So typically what you do is just take a couple of minutes to just characterize the proposal so that they can enter the discussion if they wish. And then you take notes on what the secondary reviewers have to say, because one of your responsibilities will be to write the panel summary of the discussion. And so and that typically is done like after you've gone through all the proposals, and people write panel summaries, and then everybody sort of checks over those to make sure they represent the discussion that was held on that particular proposal. So you don't have to prepare any formal presentation. Just be ready to sort of spend a couple of minutes characterizing the proposal for those who may not have read it.
So by characterizing, you mean, for example, to say, here are the kinds of activities that they've planned to do, and here's a brief description of how they plan to do these activities? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you might want to say a little bit about, you know, what the research questions might be or what the target audience is, that sort of thing, just so that people have a sense of what they're trying to do and who the audience is and where it's happening. Is it in a school or after school, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And if there's professional development involved, you might want to describe that as well.
Okay.
But the one thing that, being a primary panelist on a proposal basically means, you know, you have those sort of two additional responsibilities. One is to sort of introduce it and sort of control the discussion about that proposal and then write the summary. And everybody will be involved in at the end in sort of reading over the summary you've written and approving it.
That does help, actually. Can you say a little more about what you mean by controlling the discussion?
Well, you just want to make sure that everybody who's a secondary panelist contributes to the discussion. So we hear what their views were in terms of the strengths and weaknesses. So just make sure that you know who the secondary panelists are. Just ask them to identify themselves if they haven't already, and make sure that the other panelists don't really have to discuss if they don't want to, but people who wrote a review for the proposal should be part of the discussion.
Okay.
And also, the one thing, and maybe your whoever chairs the panel might do this as well, but, you know, if people are basically repeating, you can just say that, okay, you know, that, you know, are there new, you know, are there new concerns or new strengths that people want to mention? The idea basically is to get everybody's sort of views out without spending a lot of time sort of, you know, rehashing things. But one of the things you do want to do as a primary panelist when you write your summary is you do want to characterize the discussion. In other words, if there was some things that everybody on the panel felt strongly about, you want to convey that in your summary. And if there are issues that someone raised that the panel was divided on, you do want to characterize it that, you know, some reviewers or two or four reviewers thought this. Because basically what you want to do for the piece person who proposed the project, get a sense of, you know, the range of views that people had and what were important issues that people wanted to discuss. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And that was my, this is Janet, that was my main question, too.
Okay. Are you first-time reviewers?
Yes.
Okay.
I am, yes.
Okay, good. I hope it proves to be a good experience for you. Most people find that the process of reviewing it very helpful in terms of the kinds of things that, that you know, other people see in what you write. And hopefully you'll find it a good professional growth opportunity.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be.
Good.
I think so too.
Good, good. And were you? Did you have any trouble like making your travel arrangements and that sort of thing? Is everything all set?
I'm a virtual participant, so
Oh, okay.
I didn't make any travel arrangements, which was nice not to have to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I live locally, so it was this is the easiest travel I've done all year.
That's good. Excellent.
Actually, I'm sorry, one follow-up question for you. I realized as you were talking about discussion that the reviews I've written will be my primary memory cue. I was planning on bringing my computer to the meeting so that I could refresh my memory. Is that, are you allowed to bring your own machines into the
panel? Oh, absolutely. You, in fact, you can actually use your computer instead of the one we provide if you wish because, you know, you'll as long as you have wireless connectivity, you can actually work on your own computer if you prefer.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Feel free to ask all the questions you want. Apparently, you're the only two who have called in, so we have all the time in the world. Well, an hour. I don't know, Bob. Is there anything you want to add here?
Other than I sent out the wrong number to my reviewer, so I'm going to go back and resend it.
Oh.
I just copied the wrong number.
Ah, okay. So we might be getting some more callers.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great. So if this is the first time you've reviewed, do you have any questions about the criteria or the various parts of the proposal or the review? Is it pretty clear that the kinds of things that you need to be looking for?
This is Jana. It seemed pretty clear to me. I mean, my experience, as well as being having experience as a K-12 teacher and as a university professor, but the other part of my experience is professional development. So I'm assuming that part of my role is to bring what I know about effective professional development and what's not effective to everything I'm looking at.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
And assuming that it isn't necessarily the case that I'm expected to know everything about every topic here. There will be other people on the panel who will know about topics that I don't know much about.
Right. Yeah, that's the whole key to the panel, really, is the program officer has probably hopefully spent a fair amount of time getting a mix of people who have various kinds of expertise that are needed to consider each proposal. So you know, there very likely will be people who are specialists like yourself, perhaps in professional development, some who are specialists in the content area that's being considered, probably specialists in evaluation or research methodology, so that, but you know, in the group of people who are assigned to review, someone's going to have, you know, the expertise needed to sort of evaluate what's been proposed. But we certainly don't expect any one person to be well versed on all aspects of a proposal. And it's good. You said you had, was this Janet?
Yes.
Okay. And you said you had teaching experience?
Yes. I was a K-12 teacher for 13 years.
Oh, that's
so
good.
I know a fair amount about that world from either end.
Yeah. And I would encourage you to be, you know, I mean, I know you will, you know, make sure your views are heard. I mean, one of the things that we see in some, it depends, you know, some of the people who propose projects to ITEST are not particularly familiar with the school environment or the education world. You know, their specialty is something else, and often the professional development piece is one of the, you know, it's something that needs to be strengthened often.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, this is the conference coordinator. I've joined Charles Hutchinson and Jacqueline Leonard.
Okay, great.
Their lines are open.
Okay.
Hi, Bob. Charlie Hutchinson.
Hi, this is David Howery. Bob just went out to, he'd given the wrong number to some people, and he's going to try to contact them.
Okay.
But we're basically just having an open conversation at the time. We have, I think, four people now online in addition to me, and I at this point just if all of you are willing to just sort of speak up, and if you have a question just ask it, and we'll do our best to answer. So I think we're open to whoever has the next question.
I have one whenever I'm in line for the next one.
Okay, sure.
That last one, I just came in the middle of the last answer, and that was very helpful because
okay.
My expertise is not in evaluation and research design, so it's hard to comment on those things. I did have one sort of practical question, which is I can't remember how many proposals there are in our docket, but I'm not going to be able to read all of them. So what if the really good ones are the ones I haven't read? How do I contribute to the conversation?
Well, I mean, the main thing is that you read the ones for which you're designated as primary and secondary panelists.
Yeah, I'm doing that, yeah.
Okay. And then the others, it's really a matter of what time allows and what you think your expertise. I mean, you can look through them. I mean, you're welcome to comment on any proposal during the discussion. The only requirement, though, is that you write reviews for the ones that you're assigned primary and secondary panelists. So as long as you've got those, you know, and you don't have time to do the others, that's okay.
So the assumption is that I may or may not be able to participate in the conversation usefully about some of the proposals, and that's true of all of us, I suppose.
Yeah, it is true of all of you. But there will be time, even if you haven't read it, you might be listening to the conversation, and if it's an area of your expertise and you're thinking that just by listening you're hearing people sort of missing something or there's something that you want to make them aware of, that's perfectly fine as well.
Okay. Will there be time to skim through while we're talking? Or will we have copies? Or is it just going to have to do it kind of blind?
Copies of the proposals or copies?
The ones we haven't looked at very in much detail.
Well, they'll be available to you online just as they are on your own computer now.
Okay.
You'll have that same access here.
Okay.
So they'll be available electronically, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's helpful. Thank you.
Sure.
And I don't know if this is helpful, but I actually requested printed copies from the NSF printing office, and they arrived within a day or two. And so I found that extremely helpful. I don't know.
Yeah, they're usually pretty fast, so that's good.
Well,
so another question?
Here's the thing. So I've written, I haven't uploaded, but I've written a bunch of proposed reviews.
Uh-huh.
Suppose I get persuaded by the other folks that I was wrong in some way. Do I get a chance to go back and change the review or not?
Yes, absolutely. You can change. I'm glad you asked this question because there seems to be some notion that the reviews you write before you get to the discussion, you can't sort of go back and change those, but you can change them at any time. And in fact, we find that quite typical because, you know, one of the advantages of having a panel is that you hear other people's perspectives, and some of those people have strengths in areas that you do not, and you find yourself being persuaded that, well, maybe this thing I thought was an issue isn't, or this thing that I thought was fine, maybe it really is an issue, and you're persuaded by them, you're perfectly able to go back and change your review and your rating. The important thing, though, is that if you change the rating or the review, make sure the two are congruent. So if you are persuaded by the discussion, say that something should be rated, you know, lower than you had, or higher, either way, than you had rated it, and you change your rating, make sure that your narrative matches the rating that you end up giving it. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, right. Makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The other thing I'll say while we're talking about reviews and rating is that just keep in mind that if you look at the definitions for good, very good, and excellent, all of those are considered worthy of support. So if you think something is worthy of support, it should have a good, very good, or excellent, one of those three. If you don't think it's worthy of support, then you should give it a poor or a fair.
Do we talk about the ones that are you making a cut? We don't talk about them all. You just talk about the ones that get high ratings?
Well, it's up to the program officer's discretion that's running your panel. I tell you what they're capable of doing or able to do, and what I typically do is usually we want to spend most of the discussion times on those that are very likely, you know, possibly being supported, because, you know, whether the proposals are really good or not, there's always a negotiation phase, and those negotiations are based on what reviewers thought of as being strengths and weaknesses. So to get back to your essential question, the program officer who's running your panel, or the panel itself, has the option of doing a process that we call triage. That is, if a particular proposal has no rating above a good and an average rating below good, then you can choose to not discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to make that decision without discussing it. you can't say, well, I don't want to discuss this because. You basically all have to just acknowledge that if it's the criteria, are you going to discuss it or not? And if you're not, then it doesn't get discussed.
Great, thank you.
Yeah. I might also add, for those proposals that you choose to not discuss, it's particularly important that your individual reviews be as strong as possible, because that's all the feedback they're going to get. They're not going to get a panel summary because you didn't discuss it. So they'll get your individual reviews, and they'll get the program officer's comments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
What's next? Now the two people who joined later, could you remind me of your names again?
This is Jacqueline Leonard. I have the wrong phone number.
Oh, hi, Jacqueline. Welcome.
Thank you.
Sure.
I think one of them too, Charlie Hutchison.
Hi, Charlie. Are you first time reviewers as well, or?
I am. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not. I've reviewed several times before, but
okay.
It's been a while since I reviewed, so I just thought I'd call.
Sure. No.
Well, some of the questions I know the answers to.
Thank you.
But I didn't want to miss out just in case there were some new
sure.
regs or something.
Sure, yeah. You know, one of the new things that people have some wonderment about are the common guidelines. I don't know if any you. I think they were mentioned during the webinar. If you watched that, just to keep in mind that those common guidelines for education research are guidelines only. You can't really hold people to whether or not they referred to those guidelines. I mean, you can use them in terms of making decisions about whether the research is appropriate to the nature of the project or the question being asked, but you can't really sort of rate someone down for not mentioning the common guidelines because it's not a requirement. Okay? Bob's back if anybody wants to talk to Bob.
Hello.
Bob.
Hi, Bob. This is Jackie. I did have a question. I'm going to be working on my review starting today and hopefully have them finished by Saturday and then just upload them to the system. Is it better for us to do it in Word and then upload or what?
Yeah, it's better to do it in Word because there's always a chance that you could be working online and Fastlane, you know, goes crazy and then you lose your work. So I would recommend that you do it in Word first and then, you know, cut and paste it, and then you may find that some things you use may be turned into question marks by Fastlane. If you avoid using quote marks or bullets, that will help because those get turned into question marks. So if you just avoid using quote marks and bullets, then you're probably run into that.
The other thing that will get turned into a question mark is a parenthesis, or apostrophe.
Oh.
Yeah, so sorry about that kind of quirk in the system, but that's just how it is. And there's a way of using...
Well, I think there's a way of setting the settings on Word. I've never managed to do it, but apparently if you use rich text format, perhaps, or plain text, it doesn't cause those special characters to lead to question marks. But it's something we see all the time. So once you get here and you're working on Fastlane here, just go through your individual reviews and sort of look for the weird question marks that appear here and there, because we do want to sort of edit those out before we send them to the PIs.
This is Charlie Hutchison. I have another quick question. I'm finding it a little hard to stick to the exact criteria in those boxes. Do you mind if it doesn't quite fit? Can we just upload the whole thing into one box?
Well, no, you definitely need to use the two boxes.
There are four.
Well, let Bob.
Hi, Charlie. It's Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Let me just try to clarify. So, I mean, you know, if you have something in, we'll just try to figure out which box it is most appropriately put in. But basically, you know, the intellectual merit, that refers to the kind of the research side of the project and, you know, and how much the project will contribute to developing new tools or new knowledge. The broader impacts refer to the what might be considered the practical impact of the project. So,
or the benefit to society.
Right. So, you know, is it designed in a way that the findings will be widely applicable? Are they developing assessment tools that could be used by a lot of people? You know, is the project reaching lots of people? Those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the intellectual versus the practical in a sense.
Okay, I'll try and separate those out. Great. And then there's the social solicitation specific review criteria. I guess that'll apply in some cases and not in all.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You know, those five elements that are listed for the two review criteria, you don't feel like you have to provide a specific response to each of those five. It's just that those are the kinds of things to be looking for. And if they apply, then say something about it. If they don't apply, you can not mention it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Sure. What's next?
It strikes me that there could be proposals that were solid proposals, but just not a good fit for the ITEST program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That happens a lot, yeah.
Yeah, what's the process for dealing with that?
Well, I guess the main thing is you have to, if it's a matter of, I mean, a strong emphasis of the ITEST program is on workforce development, raising awareness, readiness, interest in STEM careers or pathways that lead to STEM careers. And if there's no, if that doesn't seem to be directly addressed, you can just raise that question in your mind, is how does this, relate to workforce development? That's really the main focus of the program. Some people are actually led astray because of the title of the program. Because the word technologies is in the title of the program, they think it's just about technology. But that's really kind of an unfortunate connotation, because it's really about workforce development.
Well, actually, I have a follow-up question to that, which, so just about everybody says it's about workforce development.
Yeah.
And they say that it's about interest in study and careers. Are we sort of encouraged to make a judgment about whether or not it's likely to do that?
Well, that's a really good question, because I think a lot of people have learned what phrases to use. It's sort of like, to be politic, you have to sort of say this or that. But if they're making claims about how a project is going to raise interest or promote STEM identity or readiness for workforce, do they have instruments? Do they have a procedure that's actually going to test for that? And that is a very valid thing and a desirable thing to question proposals on, is do they have a means of detecting and measuring outcomes that they claim will result from their project? I think that relates to, that's kind of what you were asking, right?
Well, actually, that's a good distinction. So it's not about whether I think they're going to do it, it's whether they've shown that they're going to measure it.
Exactly, right.
So even if I think it's a non-credible claim, that's not important.
Well, it's important. I mean, you can always raise questions as to, as long as you have your judgments based on what you know about schools or after-school programs or the workforce or the content, and you're not convinced that what they're suggesting is going to work, you can raise that as an issue. You can raise it as a question.
Okay.
And you can raise it both in terms of are they actually going to try to measure it and demonstrate it in some way, or have they even have they grounded what they're saying in the appropriate literature? For instance, a lot of people will say that this strategy will help certain some identified underrepresented group be more successful. Well, have they based that on anything coming out of the literature? Is there some reason, is there some basis in their theoretical framework or the evidence they've cited that would indicate that this is particularly good for that population? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, sorry to hog the discussion here, but so, often they cite literature that I don't know. It's hard to know whether they're just citing it because that's out there or because it really does make the link.
Right.
But I hope somebody else on the panel will know the literature.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know if you were online before when we talked about this, but one of the advantages of, we very intentionally bring diverse groups of people to look at each individual proposal. Some people will have strengths in one area, other people will have strengths in other areas, and hopefully in the group there will be someone who does know the literature on a particular thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. In that regard, too, it does happen on occasion that there's some special feature of a proposal that nobody on the panel really feels like they, you know, they, that this, that's a, an expertise that anybody on the panel has. And you can always recommend to your program officer that, you know, perhaps an ad hoc reviewer, you know, might be beneficial.
Uh-huh.
That happens on occasion. Okay, anything else? Particularly if you're a first-time reviewer, if there's any questions about, you know, what's expected of you or how to go about doing things, the one thing I do want to emphasize is it is very important that you get the reviews in before you show up here, because there are things that the program officer has to do based on your reviews that the person has to do before you come. So it puts them in a very difficult position if you don't have your reviews in, and you can't discuss the proposals in the meeting unless everybody has the reviews in. So very important that you have those in before you come here.
Bob, this is Kemi Jonah. I've got a question about the technology component.
Yeah.
For those projects that are proposing to develop some kind of technology, what is the ITEST viewpoint around the contributions of that component beyond the scope of the project? Is it satisfactory if it just does a decent enough job for the particular project, or is there, like in other programs, the intent that whatever work be done on that technology serve as a more generalizable, a way to inform progress in the field more generally as well?
Well, I think there's two things about that. First of all, if ideally they would make the technology available to the field in some way that is appropriate, and then secondly, if they're developing new knowledge, that is this approach or researching how this approach works, that they would also get that out to a wider audience, you know, to education research journals, to conferences, or to practitioners as appropriate for the project. Does that make sense?
It does. I guess I'm just sort of wondering, you know, like there's some that are proposing to do things that are not that brand new, and so one wonders, you know, do we need another one of X unless there's some other kind of contribution that they're planning on making, you know, where the lessons that they learn through the process are somehow able to be shared, even if people aren't particularly interested in that kind of a technology itself.
Well, I think, you know, I think that if there is, you know, I mean, absolutely or nearly nothing innovative in the project, well, certainly that, you know, it might be a perfectly good project for the participants, but if it doesn't go beyond that, then certainly that I wouldn't think that would be a very strong proposal.
Yeah, can I jump in here too? Because this is a really important point that, you know, it's really important that the project not only be a good experience for the participants, but it's good that the field learns something from the project. That's really critical. So we do see proposals that are very well written. They're you know, you really can't criticize them in terms of, you know, the quality of the proposal, the likelihood that it's going to be successful, but does it contribute anything? Is it new in any way? What's the innovation that's going to move the field forward? So that is a very valid thing to sort of question.
Yeah, and actually the title of the program is Innovative Technology. So if the project overall lacks innovation, then it, like David said, it might directly benefit greatly the participants themselves, but it may not contribute much or anything at all to the field more broadly. So if it doesn't contribute to the field in general, then it's probably not a strong project with respect, you know, to ITEST, even if the program itself, you know, shows promise of having strong benefit on the direct participants.
Great, thank you.
I'm going to have to sign off for another meeting. But
okay.
I'm pretty clear, having been a past reviewer, and it was very good to hear some reminders.
Okay.
I'll be working on my reviews this afternoon, and
okay.
I hope to have everything uploaded by Saturday.
Sounds good. Thank you
Thank
very
you.
Much for joining us.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Any other questions? Wonderments?
The conference coordinator, you were joined by David Reeder and Kimmy Jonah, and they may have their lines are open.
Okay. Welcome to the folks who just joined us. We're basically just in a sort of an open conversation here, people raising questions as it occurs to them. And at the moment, we're sort of waiting for the next question. So anything about the review process itself or getting here or, you know, what you sort of need to do while you're here, feel free to ask away.
It's quite a loud silence.
It's a very loud silence. I'm thinking that Bob must have done a really good webinar.
Yeah. I have been a panelist in the past, so I don't have nothing new from the new RFP, so I'm just going to listen if anything else comes up, but I don't have any questions.
Okay, that's fine.
This is David Reeder, by the way.
Okay. Bye. And we, not sure what the time is, but I'm sure we have plenty of time. And any question that you have is fine. For the people who are new, do you know how to get to NSF? Are there any questions about how to get here?
I have a different question, but unless anybody has that question.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I just noticed on the webinar reference to the supplementary documents and the data management plan and so on. I hadn't actually even thought to go look at those yet.
Okay.
I've been kind of deep in the proposals themselves. Is that something I really should take the time to do?
Well, the only things you're required to read are the 15-page project description, the data management plan, and the postdoc mentoring plan, if it's applicable.
Mm-hmm.
And in the supplementary pages, the only other thing allowed there, other than letters of commitment, is some may have put in a two-page description of results from prior funding. And so it would be good to look at that as well.
Hi, Charlie. This is Bob.
Bob.
My suggestion on that, there is information in the webinar, you know, of what you should be looking at in the data management plan and postdoc plan, but if you know, what I would suggest is just in broader impacts, you know, just label, you know, a data management plan, and then just comment on, you know, if you believe that the plan addresses the five areas that NSF identifies. You don't have to do a long paragraph or anything. I would just say, you know, the data management plan addresses the NSF criteria adequately or something of that nature. Just a brief sentence would be fine, but we would like you to look at it because it is something that we're being asked to look at as well, and we need to get some feedback from reviewers.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to add to that because one of the things that you're going to be those of you, you're all probably a primary panelist on at least one or two proposals, and you're going to be writing the summary. The panel summary, and there are a couple of specific things required on the panel summary that are not explicit on your individual reviews, so it's good to know ahead of time to look for those things. So in addition, as Bob mentioned, on the panel summary, you're going to have to we're required to have a statement about the adequacy of the management plan and the postdoc mentoring plan if it's applicable, and also the results of prior research, NSF research. If they have received prior funding, That should be identified either in the 15-page project description or in the supplemental two pages in supplemental pages. So you should make some comment about whether this project builds on that or is related to that at all. So just know that in addition to intellectual merit, broader impacts, and a summary statement, the panel summary is going to include an explicit statement about the post-management plan. I mean, post-management. It's getting late. The management plan, the postdoc mentoring plan, and prior NSF support.
Yeah, and let me just clarify. The panel summary is what you write up after we've had the review discussion. I've had a couple of questions at times when people ask if they are supposed to write something up before the meeting.
Right.
But, you know, it's just it's basically like the minutes of the panel discussion meeting. So, you know, we have the panel discussion when you're here or virtually after that's done. And you know, you take notes during the discussion, and then you use that to write up your summary.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Okay. Yeah, if there's, I'll give you just a couple more seconds here, a minute or two, if you have any last-minute questions. Otherwise, we'll, thank you for joining us and see you in the panels when you get here. Any more questions?
None from me.
Okay, great. Okay. Oh, did I hear a question coming? Guess not. Okay, well, thanks to all of you for calling in. And if you, if anything, but you have a question later, feel free to send it to your program officer or to me or to Bob, and we'll answer the best we can and as soon as we can by email. So, we look forward to seeing you here.
You too.
Okay.
Great. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. See ya.